of this transition into prison, and people can find a link to it at rootsaction.org.
Norman Solomon, we want to thank you for being with us, longtime activist, executive director of the Institute for Public Accuracy, co-founder of RootsAction.org, and a coordinator of ExposeFacts.org. Among his books, War Made Easy, How Presidents and Pundits Keep Spinning Us to Death. That does it for our broadcast. Our website's democracynow.org. We have openings for video production fellowships beginning July 1st. Visit democracynow.org for information. Democracy Now! Is produced by Mike Burke, Renee Feltz, Aaron Maté, Nermeen Sheikh, Steve Martinez, Sam Alkoff, Hani Massoud, Ravi Karan, Dina Guzder, Amy Littlefield, Anna Osbeck, Mike DeFilippo, Miguel Nogueira are our engineers. Special thanks to Julie Crosby, Hugh Grand, David Krug, Vestica Dars. I'm Amy Goodman with Aaron Maté. Our website, democracynow.org.
And you are listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM, also heard on the web at www.kboo.fm. The time is 5 o'clock. Stay tuned for the Tuesday KBOO Evening News.
KBOO members, what's your vision for your community radio station? How do you see the mission of KBOO? The KBOO Foundation has a programming charter and strategic plan, and now it's time for a mission and vision statement to help direct our policy and inspire the community. From now through May 15th, we're inviting member input on our website. Visit kboo.fm/survey2015 to take our survey. You can also read up on our programming charter and other guidelines and find frequently asked questions at the same page, kboo.fm/survey2015. Or you can pick up a copy of the survey at the station. And on Saturday, May 30th, we'll be hosting a mission and vision retreat for members. If you'd like to attend, get in touch with Monica Beamer and RSVP. The email address is monica@kboo.org. Thank you for being an active member of KBOO.
Where is it written that we could not have a religion of our own?
The system had one intention, to either kill, move people, or to put us in prison as long as possible.
Coming up tomorrow on KBOO, it's the 30th anniversary of the MOVE bombing, when the Philadelphia police dropped a bomb on the home of the MOVE family. About 60 houses were destroyed and 11 people killed, including 5 children.
Did you see the child actually go back into the house?
I believe the child went back into the house.
All right.
Tune in from 9 to 11 a.m. for a look back at police violence against communities of color, excerpts from the documentary Let the Fire Burn, analysis, and more. At KBOO, 90.7 FM, and online at kboo.fm.
KBOO would like to thank our community partners that donated food for our volunteers today. Breakfast was provided by Junior's Cafe, located at 1742 Southeast 12th Avenue, serving breakfast and brunch with vegetarian, vegan, and gluten-free options. Lunch was provided by the Original Diner Ant, located at 300 Southwest 6th Avenue, serving up variations on 50s and 60s diner and supper club menus. Dinner was provided by Salvador Molly's, located at 1523 Southwest Sunset Boulevard, serving cuisine from Ethiopia, Hawaii, Thailand, New Orleans, and Jamaica, mingling flavors and culinary history on the same menu.
And now, your daily volunteer-produced community newscast, the KBOO Evening News.
Coming up on our hour-long membership drive special of the KBOO Evening News, the nation's largest immigrant detention center is trying to fill its quota of 24,000 beds this summer.
Nepal has been hit with its second earthquake in less than 3 weeks.
The U.S. Senate has blocked a measure that could have allowed President Obama to fast-track the Trans-Pacific Partnership.
Yeah. Good evening. This is the KBOO Evening News for Tuesday, May 12th, 2015. KBOO is currently in our membership drive, and we'd like to urge you to become a member by calling 877-500-5266. I'm Nicole Weinstock.
And I'm Jared Dantzler. Breaking news from Portland City Hall. We have just received notice that the June 10th public hearing on the proposed Pembina propane terminal has been canceled. The city has said that they will not be moving forward with the proposed zoning change that would allow the Canadian fossil fuel company to construct a pipeline on a fragile ecosystem near the Port of Portland. At this point, it is not yet known if this means that the propane terminal project has been canceled, as the company may still pursue other means to transport the propane to the terminal. Last week, Portland Mayor Charlie Hales withdrew his support for the controversial terminal after a large-scale citizen campaign. But Pembina spokesperson said at that time they plan to push forward with the project. Governor Kate Brown yesterday signed a bill into law that mandates criminal background checks for most private gun sales. Nearly all gun sales now must be approved through a licensed background check. The law only does not apply to transactions relating to firing ranges and hunting. Gun exchanges between family members are also exempted. The law passed the Oregon House and Senate along party lines, with nearly all Democrats voting yes and all Republicans voting no. Advocates of the law say it is a major victory and hope to move forward with other measures to reduce gun violence.
Agricultural drones are coming to Oregon. The Honeycomb Corporation, based in Wilsonville, is developing what they call the Ag Drone. This is a 5-pound, single-wing, remote-controlled aircraft with special cameras that sees not only visible light, but other parts of the spectrum. The purpose is to analyze plant health for later analysis and follow-up action. Such data might cover irrigation, fertilizer efficacy, weed control, livestock monitoring, and other agricultural issues. Michael Wing, associate professor at Oregon State University, heads the Aerial Information Systems Laboratory and plans to test the drone for agricultural and forestry applications later this year. The team plans to use the drone to do flights for grass seed analysis this summer.
5 years ago today, Keaton Otis was shot 23 times by Portland police officers. Otis was stopped by police at Northeast 6th Avenue after Officer Ryan Foote said that Otis, quote, kind of looks like a gangster, end quote. After the encounter turned violent, police shot Otis 23 times, killing him. He was 25 years old. A public memorial will be held today at 6 p.m. It will take place at Augustana Lutheran Church on 2710 Northeast 14th Avenue.
The police officer who shot and killed a black teenager in Madison, Wisconsin, will not face charges. 19-year-old Tony Robinson was killed on March 6th after a confrontation with Officer Matt Kenny. Police say that Kenny was attacked by Robinson after reports that the teenager was assaulting people at an apartment complex. But Robinson's family has rejected this account and launched their own investigation. A preliminary autopsy report says that Robinson was shot 3 times, in the torso, head, and arm. Kenny has been placed on paid administrative leave.
The 1980 eruption of Mount St. Helens caused a blockage of ash and debris in the natural outlet of the underlying Spirit Lake. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers came in and built a 1.5-mile-long tunnel to provide drainage for the lake. Army engineers measured the tunnel in October 2013 at 8 feet 6 inches at its outlet. Last month, the tunnel opening measured just 6 feet 8 inches. If the tunnel were to block completely, Spirit Lake could overflow. The waning outlet has prompted emergency repairs to begin later this year.
On Saturday, May 16th, survivors of electroconvulsive therapy and their allies will gather in local communities around the world to protest the widespread use of a practice that they say has limited effectiveness and causes lasting damage. More commonly known as shock therapy or electroshock, many people believe the procedure has been abandoned or is only used rarely. In fact, it is estimated that around 100,000 people undergo shock therapy each year in the U.S., with a total of perhaps up to 1 million individual treatments. Deborah Schwarzkopf, a local survivor of shock therapy, states that the FDA has never tested electroshock for safety or effectiveness. She questions the ability to give full and informed consent to a procedure that is untested. Schwarzkopf is the organizer for one of two Oregon protests this Saturday at the Kaiser Sunnyside Medical Center on Sunnyside Road in Clackamas from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. The other protest in Oregon will be in downtown Eugene at the Wayne Morse Free Speech Plaza at 125 East 8th Avenue. Tune in Thursday for KABU's News in Depth for a feature interview with Schwarzkopf by KABU reporter Paul Roland. More information on the protests and the campaign against shock therapy can be found at ectjustice.com.
KABU volunteers have stepped up their game to bring you this locally produced newscast every single evening, so now we are asking you to do the same. Joining us now are Jenka Soderberg and Ani Haynes to talk about how you can support KABU Community Radio.
Thanks, Jared. We're here in Membership Central, and we are waiting for the phones to ring to support the evening news. So this is a community-produced newscast. People come together, find these news stories, go out into the community with microphones, talk to our friends and neighbors, and find out what's going on and share that information with you. Think about what you've heard just recently on tonight's news about the Pembina Terminal, about the so many of the protests that are going on in town, about electroshock therapy, which I was surprised to even find out that that is still going on, and there are people protesting against it right here in our community. So we are giving you that information, sharing whatever is going on in the Portland area, in the state of Oregon, around the world, keeping you informed, and we do that with your support. So do give us a call and support the evening news. Support KABU Community Radio. There's only 4 days left in this membership drive, and we need to raise about $40,000 more. So we need a thousand of you to give $40, and we can get there. So just call right now and do your part. 877-500-KABU. Maybe you're stuck in traffic and kicking yourself for deciding to drive instead of riding your bike today. Well, if that's the case, just pull over, take a little rest, take a little break, and call and support community. You can consider it like a carbon offset, because if you give $75 or more, you can actually have a tree planted in your honor. So that's a great way to give. You give KABU and you get a tree planted as well. So that'll be a real carbon offset if you do that. 877-500-KBOO. Again, that number, 877-500-KBOO. Our volunteer-produced newscast is a platform for oppressed and minority communities to share the news stories impacting their communities. And we talked about media consolidation. It is so important that we have a daily volunteer-produced local newscast in Portland, and we are one of the only ones. And in fact, we are the only radio newscast that is completely locally produced right here by volunteers. 877-500-KBOO. Do call and support right now. Support the evening news, 877-500-KABU.
And now we turn to the weekly commentary from Paul Cienfuegos for Community Rights and Dismantling Corporate Rule, produced weekly for the Tuesday evening news.
Greetings. You're listening to the weekly commentary by yours truly, Paul Cienfuegos. As regular listeners know, the community rights group in Spokane, Washington, has been sparring with their elected city and county council members for the past few years, attempting to get their local government to finally start representing the interests of the 99% instead of the 1%. Their Community Bill of Rights ballot initiative is currently stuck in the courts, as the powers that be are claiming that Spokane voters do not have the legal right to vote on it, even though the Washington State Constitution enshrines the right to vote on citizen-led initiatives as one of the highest rights of state residents. So I was thrilled to recently discover that the Spokane Group has launched a brand new ballot initiative campaign that would grant expansive new rights to working people in Spokane. It was filed on March 17th with their local elections office, and if they can gather 2,500 legal signatures by the July 6 deadline, which will be quite a push to accomplish, they plan to have it on the ballot this November. They're calling it a Worker Bill of Rights. Although there are already more than 200 communities in 9 states that have passed community rights ordinances, not one of them has focused explicitly on the rights of working people until now. According to the actual ordinance language, it was written to, quote, establish legally enforceable rights for workers to protect the local economy and build the people's vision of a healthy, sustainable, economically just, and democratic community, unquote. The Worker Bill of Rights recognizes and protects four new rights. Here's a summary of each one. Number one, workers in the city of Spokane have a right to a family wage. Workers employed by an employer with 150 or more full-time equivalent workers shall be paid at minimum a family wage for work performed. Number two, all workers in the city of Spokane have a right to equal pay for equal work. No employer may provide different wage rates or other compensation to workers who are performing jobs that require equal skill, effort, and responsibility because of the worker's gender, sexual orientation, race, economic class, religion, age, and other categories. Number three, workers in the city of Spokane shall have a right to be free from wrongful termination. Employers with 10 or more full-time equivalent workers shall not terminate a worker unless they can demonstrate just cause as defined in established common law principles of collective bargaining and labor relations. And finally, number four, corporate powers shall be subordinate to people's rights. Corporations that violate or seek to violate this ordinance shall not possess legal rights that would interfere with the rights of people in Spokane, including standing to challenge this ordinance in court, the power to assert state or federal preemptive laws in an attempt to overturn this ordinance, and the power to assert that the people of this municipality lack the authority to adopt this ordinance. To read the full text of this ordinance, go to the envisionspokane.org website. And if what I'm describing to you is getting you excited, I would urge you to consider donating some time or money to this campaign. Perhaps even get yourself and a few friends to Spokane in the next month or so and help collect signatures to get it on the ballot this November. Again, their website is envisionspokane.org. Moving on to another topic, I will be giving an original talk this coming Thursday evening here in Portland. The talk is titled, We the People Standing Together to Protect Our Climate, Lessons from the Community Rights Movement. After I've completed my presentation, the floor will be open to questions and conversation with the audience. I would love to see you there. It's this Thursday evening, May 14th, from 7 to 9 p.m. at First Unitarian Church downtown in the Elliott Chapel. And it's free. This event is co-sponsored by Community Rights PDX, Alliance for Democracy, 350pdx.org, Environmental Justice Action Group, Cascadia Education Group, and KBOO Radio. Please tell your friends and see you there. Finally, I'm going to make one last plug for the extraordinary campaign being waged in Benton County right now to ban all GMO agriculture and to establish a locally enforceable right to a local food system, a right to seed heritage, and rights for local ecosystems. Benton County residents, that's folks in Corvallis and surrounding areas, have to turn in their ballots by May 19th. That's just a week from today. They could really use some additional gifts of time and money from supporters across the state, as voters there are being deluged with slick corporate propaganda on the airwaves and on their doorsteps. If you are able to support this gutsy campaign, go to bentonfoodfreedom.org. That's it for this week. You've been listening to the weekly commentary by yours truly, Paul Cienfuegos. You can hear future commentaries every Tuesday on the KBOO Evening News in Portland, Oregon, and on a growing number of other radio stations. I welcome your feedback. You can subscribe to my weekly podcast via iTunes or at communityrightspdx.org. You can follow me on Twitter at CNFuegosPaul. You can sign up for my newsletter at paulcnfuegos.com. Thanks for listening, and remember, we are the people we've been waiting for.
You are are listening to an hour-long membership drive special of the KBOO Evening News. We'd like to remind you that you can call to renew your KBOO membership or become a member at any time during this program by calling 877-500-5266. Stay tuned for Out Loud at 6. At 7, it's Hard Knock Radio, news and views from a hip-hop perspective. Tonight, showers likely, mainly after midnight, with a low around 49. Tomorrow, chance of showers, cloudy, with a high near 62. Today in history. In 2002, former U.S. President Jimmy Carter arrives in Cuba for a five-day visit with Fidel Castro, becoming the first president of the United States to visit the island since the 1959 revolution. And in 2008, tens of thousands killed when a 7.9 magnitude earthquake strikes Sichuan, Gansu, and Yunnan provinces in western China. The quote of the day is from Plato, author of The Republic. One of the penalties for refusing to participate in politics is that you end up being governed by your inferiors.
The U.S. Senate has blocked a plan that could have given President Obama fast-track authority on the Trans-Pacific Partnership, or TPP. Fast-track, if approved, would remove from Congress its constitutional authority to negotiate trade agreements and hand that power over to the President. The Senate needed 60 yes votes to move ahead with the discussion, but only got 52. President Obama came to Portland last week to promote the trade deal, but he has faced stiff opposition from some Democrats and critics who say the deal empowers large corporations at the expense of workers. The deal has also been criticized for its unusual level of secrecy. Senator Barbara Boxer of California described how difficult it was to learn about the actual agreement.
Well, let me tell you what you have to do to read this agreement. Follow this. You can only take a few of your staffers who happen to have a security clearance, because God knows why this is secure. This is classified. So I go down with my staff that I could get to go with me, and as soon as I get there, the guard says to me, hand over your electronics. Okay, I give over my electronics. Then the guard says, you can't take notes. I said, I can't take notes. Well, you can take notes, but you have to give them back to me, and I'll put them in a file. So I said, wait a minute. I'm going to take notes, and then you're going to take my notes away from me, and then you're going to have them in a file, and you can read my notes. Not on your life.
The Trans-Pacific Partnership trade deal will likely resurface in a few weeks. Oregonians continue to target Senator Ron Wyden, who plays a key committee role, challenging his support for the controversial trade agreement.
After the president decided yesterday to approve oil drilling in the Arctic, numerous environmental groups have spoken out in opposition. In Seattle, activists have been mobilizing for months to stop Shell Oil from installing drilling equipment in the Port of Seattle to facilitate the company's Arctic drilling. KBOO's Chris Andre spoke with Travis Nichols from Greenpeace USA, which has been involved in the opposition to Arctic drilling.
There are still points of pressure for people who oppose Arctic drilling to engage with, and there are still a number of things that Shell has to get together in order to go forward this summer. Some permits, air quality permits, marine mammal harassment permits, this sort of thing. But as you mentioned, in Seattle, there's this amazing movement that has come together to say that they do not want to have this happen on their watch. So there's Rising Tide, there's Backbone, there's Mosquito Fleet. There's just a number of amazing people who have said, this is not inevitable, this is not something that has to happen, and we're going to do everything in our power to try and stop it. And so there's actually a port commission hearing later today in which there will be public comment. And we assume that there will be a lot of the public there to say that they don't approve of the city of Seattle giving space for this Arctic drilling fleet to do repairs, to get ready to go up to make the climate worse and to expose this incredible ecosystem to a spill. I think anyone who pays attention to this and puts this plan under the microscope will see that it is completely insane. And so because of the oil industry lobbying and because of how used to letting the oil industry get what it wants politicians are, that they haven't done their due diligence. And so we're really just trying to slow the process down and make sure everybody gets a chance to look at it. And once they do, we hope that they react like Seattle has reacted and said, wait, not on our watch. This is not going forward.
Travis Nichols, of course, with Greenpeace Global Communications. And do you want to just let listeners know where they can go to find out more about how to raise their voice in concert with Greenpeace? It's all there on the website, greenpeace.org, /Arctic?
Yep, that's great. And also shellknow.org to see about the Festival of Resistance that's happening this weekend. So your listeners could take the trip up there. Cascadia can turn into a festival of resistance altogether this weekend.
That's exactly what we need to do. Thanks again for that, Travis.
That was Travis Nichols from Greenpeace speaking this morning on KBOO about Seattle residents organizing in opposition to Arctic drilling.
You are listening to a membership drive special of the KBOO Evening News. Our volunteers work hard every day to bring you this coverage of local, national, and international news. So now it's your turn. Joining us now are Jenka Soderberg and Ani Haynes to talk about how you can support KBOO Community Radio.
Thanks, Nicole. You can support KBOO Community Radio right now during our spring membership drive by calling and giving your $40 basic membership or your $120 a year, that's $10 a month contribution. And we are very excited to be here during the last 4 days of our spring membership drive. This is the time when we come to you, the listener, and ask for your support for this station. This is the main source of funding for the station. In fact, it provides more than 80% of our funding is from you, the listener, giving your $5 a month, $10 a month. Right now we've got 4,900 of you doing that. We want to push that up to 5,000 by Saturday. I think we can do it. We have one new member to thank, Jude, who called because she was really glad that we are actually reporting about electroshock therapy because nobody else is. And you're hearing it here on KBOO News. And we will also have a full report on that protest coming up this Saturday down at Sunnyside. So again, the phone number to support KBOO Community Radio is 877-500-5266. And we're asking for you to give right now whatever you can give. Push a little bit, you know, make it a little bit more effort than you normally would. If you were thinking about giving 20, maybe you could give 40. Maybe you could give 100. Think about it. Can you do that for community radio? Whatever you can give, just call and support. 877-500-KBOO.
I want to thank Richard for renewing his membership in Lake Oswego. Thank you so much, Richard, for renewing your membership to KBOO Community Radio. And you know, I know I personally am able to give a little bit more, actually a lot more, than I would be able to give any one time by doing it in little bite-sized pieces. If you are able to give $5 a month, it would be put to great use for your entire community throughout the year. $5 a month. It is, I have to say, affordable for most people listening right now. You can go ahead, look in your wallet and take a leap of faith. If you've got $5 in there right now or $5 in your checking account, go ahead, take that leap of faith. Call 877-500-5266 and say, yes, you will keep that support coming in every month to KBOO, your community radio station, where it adds up with all of your friends and neighbors in their $5 and $15 and $20 contributions every month. And all together, you really impact this community radio station's ability to keep going. You are helping to support us with a very stable baseline, and that is fantastic. So sustain us in a monthly way with little bite-sized pieces, easy on your budget and so healthy for ours. 877-500-5266 or online kboo.fm. Of course, if you are out and about, please do drop by to your community radio station and we'd be more than happy to give you a tour of the station. We love meeting our listeners and we would love to give you a bumper sticker and let you know how much we appreciate your support here in person. 877-500-5266. If that's not convenient, give us a call or stop by 20 Southeast 8th. We're just between Burnside and Ankeny in beautiful Southeast Portland on Southeast 8th Avenue.
Beautiful and sunny. Maybe not today, but somewhere around there. Sometimes it's beautiful and sunny. Yeah. But, you know, you can come in and get warm, get a cup of coffee, and you know, take a little break in your bike commute if you're on your way home. Just stop in at KBOO, 20 Southeast 8th. Say hi and let us know that you're a supporter of the evening news. It's really amazing how many people support this. And the news at KBOO is a community effort, a whole bunch of people coming together. You will, if you come by, you'll meet Nicole and Jared, who are right over here reading the news stories, and Sequoia pressing the buttons, and we've got a bunch more volunteers all around the station. So you see how your money is spent here at the station. We're not spending it on big beachfront jacuzzi rentals or limousines. We duct tape and baling wire go a long way. And your $75 contribution that you can get a tree planted in your name buys quite a bit of duct tape and baling wire for us here at KBOO. So give that if you can. Give the $40 if you can, or do $5 a month or $10 a month. Call right now to support the evening news, 877-500-5266.
As Palestinians in the Gaza Strip continue to try to recover from last summer's Israeli assault, a group of Canadian doctors have organized a campaign to bring solar panels to hospitals in Gaza. KBOO's Jenka Soderberg has more.
We are joined on the line now by Dr. Ben Thompson, who is one of a group of physicians that are starting a project called Empower Gaza, a joint initiative aimed at raising $1.2 million to put solar panels on hospitals in Gaza. Can you just tell us a little bit about the project?
Well, thank you, Jenka. Empower Gaza is a collaborative project that a very good friend of mine, Dr. Tarek Lubani, and myself have been working with the healthcare workers in Gaza for the last several years. And in conjunction with the United Nations Development Program, it was identified that really, with all of the many, many challenges that the healthcare workers face in Gaza, one of the best solutions with regards to the energy crisis that's seen daily in the hospitals is to install solar panels. And this would be a sustainable, long-term solution to the ongoing blackouts that end up, you know, killing people, end up resulting in lost lives in hospitals in Gaza on a regular basis. So this was a sustainable thing that we could do. It involves four hospitals. They're, in fact, four of the largest hospitals in Gaza. It would be the Al-Aqsa, the Kamal Adwan, the European Hospital, and the Rantizi Hospital, which, of course, is the largest pediatric hospital in Gaza City, serving just under 2 million people. So this, I'm very excited about this project because it really is something that's long-term, sustainable, and will save lives on the ground.
Wow. And one of the things that that people who oppose solar power bring up is that it may not be reliable for situations like hospitals, in that the consistency of the power that's provided by solar is not entirely consistent. How's that issue being dealt with?
You know, I'm glad you brought that up, because there, in fact, are that was one of our concerns as well when we initially discussed the project. That said, there are ways technically that the energy can be stored, and this has been shown in multiple solar power projects ranging from Haiti to Nepal to India, and even a project within Gaza at the Jenin Hospital has proven that this is not only possible, but it works, and there have not been any blackouts in the one hospital in which solar power has been installed in Gaza since it's been installed, and it really is quite a success story. And the same can be said about the success stories of the hospitals that have installed solar power in Haiti and Nepal and India. So it's not a matter of if this can work. It definitely works. It has a proven track record. So it's not a matter of if it works. It's a matter of can we get the funding necessary to make it work in the Gaza hospitals.
So again, if people are interested in finding out more, the website is empowergaza.org. www.healthcarepractitioners.org. I've been speaking with Dr. Ben Thompson, one of the healthcare practitioners that is working on this project to build solar panels on top of hospitals in the Gaza Strip to provide consistent and reliable power in an area where blackouts are extremely common. Dr. Thompson, thank you for joining us on KBOO today.
Thank you so much, Jenka. Much appreciated.
This is Jenka Soderberg with KBOO News.
Nepal has been struck by a second earthquake 50 miles east of the capital city of Kathmandu. The 7.3 earthquake killed at least 50 people and over 1,000 have been injured. The impact has also been felt in Tibet and northeastern India, where 17 people have died. One eyewitness said that the mountains before my eyes have started tumbling down in massive landslides. This comes less than 2 weeks after a 7.8 earthquake killed over 8,000 people in Nepal. The U.S. Geological Survey says this second earthquake was considerably weaker but still caused major damage to homes and communities. There have also been landslides in the surrounding areas. Local and international relief workers have been scrambling to help affected areas, especially rural communities that are harder to access. A U.S. helicopter providing assistance in Nepal has gone missing with two Nepalese soldiers and six U.S. Marines on board. The helicopter was transporting rice, tarps, and other humanitarian relief. It was en route to drop off supplies when communication was lost. And now, the latest in developments and news from the occupied territories in Palestine from the International Media East, Middle East Media Center in Bethlehem.
Welcome to Palestine Today, a service of the International Middle East Media Center at www.imemc.org for Tuesday, May 12, 2015. On Tuesday at dawn, Israeli soldiers kidnapped a Palestinian man, summoned two for interrogation in the West Bank district of Bethlehem, a child in occupied Jerusalem, and a third Palestinian in Hebron. Two more Palestinians were kidnapped in Jerusalem on Monday late at night. In related news, Omar Shalabi, leader of the Fatah political party in East Jerusalem, was sentenced to 9 months in prison Tuesday after being convicted of incitement and support of terrorist organizations through his Facebook postings. This is the first time that a person had been sentenced to jail for social media posts under Israeli law. Shalabi, age 44 and father of six children, was arrested in December and charged over 10 postings on his Facebook page, which at the time had some 5,000 friends. In Gaza, Israeli forces opened fire at Palestinian farmers in the eastern part of the Gaza Strip, burning large amounts of wheat crops. No casualties were reported as the farmers fled the region 2 days ago after a limited Israeli incursion. Along the previous 2 weeks, Palestinian farmers, whose farms lies near the eastern borders of the Gaza Strip, have been reporting Israeli troops targeting them with heavy gunfire daily. And that's all for today from the IMEMC News. This was the Tuesday, May 12, 2015 news roundup from the occupied Palestinian territories. For more news and updates, please visit our website at www.imemc.org. Today's report has been brought to you by George Mawi and me, Ghassan Bandura.
You're listening to an hour-long membership drive special of the KBOO Evening News. This is a volunteer-produced newscast, and we encourage your participation. Call us with your breaking news stories at 503-231-8032. Our production team tonight is Alan Monticello, Jared Dantzler, Cliff Verla, and Jim Thompson. Our engineer is Sequoina Wright, and the KBOO Evening News and Public Affairs Director is Jenka Soderberg. A podcast of this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews. You are listening to KBOO at 90.7 FM in Portland, in Philomath on translator K282BH at 104.3 FM, and in Hood River at 91.9 FM on translator K220HR. I'm Nicole Weinstock.
And I'm Jared Dantzler. Now is your chance to show support for the work our volunteers put in to bring you this newscast, rain or shine. every weekday throughout the year. Joining us now are Jenka Soderberg and Ani Haynes again to talk about how you can support KBOO Community Radio.
You can do it right now by picking up your phone and dialing 877-500-5266 and saying yes to your community. Yes to independently volunteer produced news. As you hear every weekday here on KBOO, this is a team of informed radio activists, and we are able to bring it to you, bring you investigative reporting, independent journalism with your support. Right now, you can bring that support in at 877-500-5266 or online. Come to kboo.fm and join us there.
This is the type of news that doesn't disempower you. It actually empowers you. It shows you what's going on and points a direction to a way forward. You know, we facilitate community action. Like you heard about, the mayor has pulled out of his support of the Pembina project, and now there is a cancellation of the public hearing, which means that the city is no longer trying to push for a change in the permitting system for that terminal to go forward. That's citizen action, people coming together to make that kind of thing happen. Also recently on the news, you heard about the Morro Pacific Coal Export Terminal, which had its permits denied after community groups and local town council members organized to stop it. These are things that are being reported on the KBOO Evening News, but they're not being reported in other outlets. And people are using radio as an organizing tool. It's a very, very unique concept that we have, a community radio station. The fact that we have one in the Portland area is actually makes us pretty unique nationwide. These stations, a number of them have had to close, have lost their frequency, but we have it here in Portland. It's a real treasure that we have this community radio station, this resource that we all share. And we want you to do your part. If you can do $5 a month, maybe you don't have a penny in your pocket right now, but you know that you have a check coming on the first and you're going to have $5 in your checking account and you will have that every month. Well, then, can you give $5 to KBOO? Can you support your community resource, the station that supports you every day with news and information? Call right now and do that. 877-500-5266. This way you show your support for the evening news. You show your support for the volunteers that are putting in the effort to bring you this information that you then share with others, that informs you and allows you to engage in your civic responsibility and allows you to engage in the types of activism that you engage in by knowing what's going on. Can you give to support it? I think you probably can. You probably have $5 in your bank account every month. If you don't, well, then maybe someone else can pick up the slack. Someone who has, you know, $10 or $20 extra in their bank account that they could give and pick up the slack for the person who doesn't and who does benefit from KBOO.
And that's the way we keep it going here at KBOO, your community radio station. It's sharing our resources together that creates strong, independent community radio. We are looking to raise another $80 before the 6 o'clock hour.
Oh, so easy.
Right?
You can do it.
I'm telling it is. It's super, super easy. You can do it right now. And it's easy with your support. And I have to say, impossible without. 877-500-5266. Pick up that phone and dial. Push us over the top for this hour of independent, volunteer-driven news broadcasting. This is what we do here at KBOO. And we need you to step up to the plate right now to fund it. 877-500-5266. Do consider sustaining us in a monthly way, little bite-sized pieces, just $5 a month, $7.25 a month, $10 a month, whatever it is you can work into your budget. Please sustain KBOO, your community radio station, as we sustain the communities. 877-500-5266 or online, kboo.fm.
And $7 a month actually is $84 a year. So you would be the one to put us over the top if you have $7 a month. It doesn't have to be $80 all at once. Just be that hero for the news. 877-500-5266.
KBOO News In Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
Undocumented families seeking asylum in the United States are now being detained in so-called family detention centers. These are privately run facilities designed to house women and children. Some have built-in courtrooms and are staffed by Corrections Corps of America and ICE employees. A new family detention center is on par to be the nation's largest, with 2,400 beds. Opponents of the immigrant detention program have gathered in Dilley, Texas, to rally against the CCA. That's the CCA's intention to fill the nearly 2,500 beds this summer. It was revealed last year that the private prison corporation played a role in lobbying for proposed detention bed quota policy. The bed quota was established in 2007 and requires U.S. immigration to hold an average of 34,000 individuals in detention on a daily basis. For more about immigration detention, we spoke with two members of the immigrant law group here in Portland, Oregon. This is Jared Dantzler for KBOO News. This is Jared Dantzler for KBOO News. I'm here speaking with Karen McMahon and Mariah Heddens of the Immigrant Law Group here in Portland, Oregon. Welcome, Karen and Mariah.
Thank you. Thanks for hosting this.
First, I want to start off by asking you to, could you talk about what's being called family residential centers? There's a new one in Dilley that's slated to be the largest in the nation with 2,400 beds. What's happening down there where children and mothers seeking asylum are detained in facilities like this one?
As of last summer, June of last summer, the administration changed its policy on detaining families and set up a temporary detention center in New Mexico. And that center has since closed, and two permanent detention centers have been opened, both in Texas. Both of them are privately owned, and the one in Dilley is owned by Corrections Corporation of America. And so they are housing, like you said, women and children who have come from Central America, and they are specifically seeking asylum. So they are being detained while they fight their cases.
And I think something really important to recognize in this conversation is that while the government's calling these family residential centers, they're nothing short of detention facilities, and the conditions are pretty horrific and, you know, far from what we would envision when we use the word residential and family.
What are some of the abuses that are being found in these facilities? How are they not